Here we are again. And I think we're coming to the end of the series on the Sermon of the Mount. I think we're getting close to the end, so it'll soon be time for us to go back down the mountain and get back to real life. But you know, every time that we gather together, every time maybe we spend time in our devotions, is kind of like us going up the mountain and spending time, you know, with Jesus, you know, listening. And then we go back down the mountain, you know, with his words kind of ringing in our ears and just thinking about, you know, someone had to write down these teachings. It's amazing that we have these teachings, you know, 2,000 years later of Jesus. And someone wrote them down so that we have them, so that we can kind of have his words with us, you know, challenging us today as we go through life. And where we're up to is Matthew 7, 1-6. Probably quite a well-known passage. I'll read it to you now. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I don't know if it's me, but when I heard that when I was younger, I always imagine like a kind of a cartoon kind of scenario with a big like, is it just me that thought that? No. And then I saw like there's a film where they kind of depicted the story. I think it was like The Miracle Maker. Was it The Miracle Maker? And someone's like carrying a load of logs in their arms, aren't they? It's kind of like saying that you're carrying a big heavy. To be honest, I didn't research it, like what, you know, actually he was meaning by that. But it doesn't really matter, really. Whether it's a pile of logs you see in Jesus' arms, or whether you think he's got a big comedy plank coming out of his eye, then it doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect what we're trying to say today. But so my challenge today is speaking about judging in a non-judgmental way. That's the thing about judging, isn't it? As soon as we start to point out someone who's judging, you know, are we not then guilty of judging too? So I'm going to do my best, but you might need to give me some grace and, you know, don't judge me. you know, I have to say that, you know, I absolutely love this passage. I think it's so clever, you know, and so insightful. It shows how even back then Jesus had so much understanding of human beings, you know, and what goes on inside of us. Our inner workings, our psyche. You know, and this particular scripture has reminded me of lots of, you know, other sayings of Jesus recorded in our scriptures. Jesus seemed to talk about this kind of thing quite a lot, I think. And he said it in lots of different ways. And that makes me think this is an important message, you know, for us, and that we should pay close attention to it. You know, but on the other hand, I kind of thought, well, maybe I don't need to stress it too much, because we all know that this is actually a huge problem for us, you know, as human beings. You know, we don't have to look too far to see how much we judge one another. We do it all the time. And we're surrounded by it in the news and in the media, and no more so than in the world of social media. You know, and we can see, on a serious note, we can see the harm that it causes and how sometimes it can lead to quite tragic circumstances. You know, so what does Jesus, you know, have to say about this? Well, he seems to say that there is a relationship between our own attitude towards our own problems and our attitude towards other people's problems. So there's a relationship. There is a connection between how I think about my own problems, my attitude towards my own problems, and my attitude towards people and their problems. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And I think it's funny how Jesus phrases this. It shows that he understands us humans only too well. I would like to think that the plank is in the other guy's eye, and I merely have a speck in my own eye. But Jesus says, no, the speck is in the other person's eye. The plank is in mine. And I think this gets right to the heart of the problem. Because as human beings, we want to look good, don't we? Let's admit it. We want to look good. And we've become adept at the art of covering up. And it's much easier to talk about somebody else's problems, isn't it? And in doing so, conveniently forgetting to mention any of my own. You know, the culture at the time of Jesus was very focused on outward acts of obedience, like following God's law to show that you were aligned with God, you're a part of God's true people. You know, but Jesus seemed much more interested in people's motivations, like what was going on in the inside. Matthew 23, verse 26 says, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will also be clean. He also said, you know, you're like whitewashed tombs where you're all like nice painted white on the outside, but inside are dead men's bones. He was pointing us to what was going on the inside of us. Just a little aside, I was reading a bit about Judaism this week. And actually, as a religion, they're much more interested in what you do. They're much more of a practice-based kind of religion. They're much more interested in what you do rather than what you believe. Whereas Christians, we're kind of obsessed with what we believe about this, that, and the other. I thought that was quite interesting. But in a culture, you know, like that's just all about what you do on the outside, more so. You know, there's a lot of pressure to do the right thing, to look good, and to get the approval of those around you. You know, and we could create cultures that are like that today, where we're just interested in what people do on the outside. You know, and over the years, we Christians have gained quite a reputation for being judgmental, which I think is a bit ironic, considering that our kind of central message is forgiveness. You know, anyone who comes into a church is probably looking for forgiveness for something or other. Surely we know more than anyone that we have sinned. Why else would we be here? But perhaps there's something about being forgiven and being given a clean slate with God that maybe can fool us into thinking we're actually a bit better than we actually are. You know, some of Jesus' most harsh words seems to be aimed at kind of those religious groups who are happy to point the finger at others and not point it at themselves, or set impossibly high standards for others and then not meet them themselves. Read Matthew 23 and you'll see what I mean. But then Jesus had no problem hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. You know, I can't imagine the tax collectors and sinners would want to hang out with Jesus if he was judging them all the time. Jesus said, after hearing people say to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? He said that, well, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. You know, in this one kind of phrase, Jesus exposed those who, you know, would deny their own soul's sickness, and at the same time comforted those who have been real and honest about theirs. You know, someone who's real and honest about their own life and the weaknesses and failings, you know, when they encounter someone who has failed or made a mistake, or even has a different kind of way of life to them, or a different way of doing things, they're much more likely to see them as they see themselves. Flawed. Able to make mistakes. And make their own choices. They're much likely to say, well, actually, this guy's, he's actually a lot like me. I'm like that too. You know, and Jesus goes on to say in that same passage in Matthew 9, you know, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Or as the Message translation puts it, I'm after mercy, not religion. And I was thinking, just this isn't written on my piece of paper, but this morning I was thinking of those Old Testament prophets, Amos especially, where he kind of says, away with the noise of your songs. And I'm like, oh, I love songs. No, surely not the songs. The songs can't go, Lord. Away with the noise of your songs. Away kind of with your festivals and your feasts. You know? Because you're not caring for people. You're not caring for people. And I kind of feel it's the same sort of spirit that Jesus says this, kind of a desire mercy. When we say mercy, I know in English we kind of think mercy means, oh, this guy deserves to be punished. I'm not going to punish him. That's what we think mercy is in the English way, I think. But actually, mercy in the Bible is not really like that. Mercy and love are actually interchangeable. If you read different translations, sometimes it's translated mercy, sometimes it's translated love. It's more like compassion. Do you know what I mean? I desire mercy, I desire compassion, not sacrifice. And sacrifice is probably pointing to, you know, the things that they did, they need to do in their religion, like take sacrifice to the temple, that sort of thing. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I'm after mercy, not religion. So if you want to know what God's after, Jesus kind of spells it out there. And the final little verse at the end of that passage, I didn't read the whole lot actually. It says, it's kind of a strange thing that seems like it's tagged on. It's hard to know how it's connected. It says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. A bit strange. This is the best kind of thing that I've read and come up with. I've heard quite a few different translations of perspectives on this particular verse. But, you know, we can also judge people when we're with other people, can't we? And in doing so, we invite them to join in, really. That's what we're doing. When we judge someone in front of someone else, we're kind of inviting them to join in. These days it's called a pylon in the social media world, where somebody will, you know, have a pop at someone and everyone, all hell will break loose and everyone will just be like diving in saying horrible things. But you know, but in context of this kind of verse, you know, these people we're judging, they're sacred, aren't they? They're like pearls. Incredibly precious in the eyes of God. And who are we to do that, really? Who are we to do that? Like Jesus famously said elsewhere, let him without guilt cast the first stone. So, you know, whenever we find ourselves doing this, and we will, And we will. You know, the question we've got to ask of ourselves is this. You know, what is it that I'm covering over in judging this person? In judging this poor person, what am I really trying to cover over about me? Whenever we find ourselves judging someone, ultimately, that's what we're doing. We're kind of covering over our own bad stuff. You know, so maybe we should start like a spiritual practice. This is a good spiritual practice. Whenever we catch ourselves in the act of judging someone, we ask ourselves this question. What am I trying to cover up about me? And perhaps we won't be able to solve this problem. I think we're always going to have this problem. But let's be aware, you know, that often when we're judging someone, we're often just trying to cover up our own stuff. You know, and I'm going to just finish with a little famous Christian phrase that you may have heard of. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Don't anyone use that one? Come on, you have done. We have all done it. But the thing is, Jesus never said that, did he? He never said that. You know, in the light of what we've read today, I think that we should change that little Christian phrase to something else, which is, love the sinner, I'll keep that bit, hate your own sin. Isn't that closer, do you think, to what we've read today? Okay, I'm going to leave it there. You don't feel judged. Nobody answered.